Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar. With a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar. With a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Hello, and welcome to a special episode of the Batteries Included podcast. I'm Dominic Chioni, and my co-host today is Tom Logney, senior editor at Inside EVs and host of the YouTube channel State of Charge. We are joined today by special guest Joseph Vallone, CEO of ChargeScape. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So we're slapping a provocative title on this episode, something like How ChargeScape Will Pay for Your Charging and Rescue the Grid. So, and we want to hear about all these things for sure, but I thought maybe we'd get to get some of the less exciting stuff out of the way first, just to begin. So ChargeScape first came on our radar in September of 2023 when BMW, Ford, and Honda created the company. We should add that Nissan also invested in the company last November. So basically, what was the impetus for the companies to create ChargeScape to begin with, and what is it that ChargeScape actually does?
Yeah, so I think you put it really well. ChargeScape is a joint venture of some of the world's largest automakers. And the reason why they created ChargeScape and invested in this business is twofold. You know, firstly, they want to sell more electric vehicles. I think despite all of the negative press recently, automakers are fully invested and all in on electric vehicles. They plan on multi-decade time horizons, and electrification is just part of their strategy. Of course, part of the part of owning an electric vehicle and driving an electric vehicle is the charging, right? And that's usually a major question for consumers: is how am I going to charge my car, and how much is it going to cost me? How much does that compare to maybe topping up a gas tank for a gas-powered vehicle? And in the US, at least, 80% of EV charging is actually done at home. So the automakers are really focused on simplifying the at-home charging experience, as well as making it as low cost as possible. And ultimately, reducing that cost of EV charging, reducing the cost of ownership, will help them sell more electric vehicles. So that was the impetus for forming ChargeGate. And what we do actually is we're a software platform that kind of serves as this middle layer between power grids and utilities across the United States and the electric vehicles themselves. And what we do is we essentially balance real-time electricity supply and demand to save power utilities money. And they end up saving money, passing on those savings to the end consumer, the EV driver. And that makes their charging at home at least low cost, if not free.
Free sounds good. All right. So how do you actually do that? So to start with, I guess you're not a public facing company, so your clients is really like the utilities. So how do they use your car to, you know, how do they access to your car? Do they do it through the chargers, or how do they get into your cars?
Yeah. So ChargeGate, as I said, kind of serves as this like connective tissue between the power utilities and the electric vehicles. And what we do is, you know, we have APIs with power utilities, and they'll send us signals on real-time grid conditions. And that can be everything from the availability of low-cost renewable generation to constrained demand on maybe certain assets within the distribution network. So think about like a substation or a transformer that's maybe got a little bit too much demand on it, maybe from air conditioning load on a summer afternoon. We'll take those signals, and then we also then communicate with the electric vehicles themselves. We have APIs to connect directly to the vehicles, by the way. We don't need a special charger. Every electric vehicle that's made in America comes with an internet connection. People might know this better through things like OnStar, GM OnStar, that's an internet connection. Teslas are internet connected. All these vehicles are internet connected. They actually have little SIM cards inside the vehicles that connect them to a 4G network, just like a cell phone. So that enables us to communicate with those vehicles. We're also able to take some information from the vehicle and the driver, such as the driver's desired departure time, you know, what time they need their car charged by, what level of battery they want their vehicle charged to, whether that's 100% or 80%, whatever. And also the vehicle's battery itself, how full is it right now? How much charge do we need to deliver? And what does the vehicle's battery health look like as well? Because we're working with the automakers, we're often optimizing for battery health. We want to keep that battery healthy and not add any additional constraint to the battery. And so then we take all of that information from kind of both sides, right? From the power grid, from the electric vehicle itself. That goes into our AI-powered algorithm, which then takes external inputs as well, such as things like power prices, weather forecasts, consumer behavior, and pumps out an optimized charging schedule for that vehicle. That's how we pass it on to the vehicle. And then the EV driver can either decide to, you know, override that and say, well, actually, no, you know, tonight I just got home. I'm cooking dinner right now, but I got to pick the kids up in a couple of hours. I need my car to charge immediately. So, you know, opt out. No, thanks. Totally fine. Or most of the time, 95% of the time, the driver just accepts it. It's an auto opt-in program. We optimize their charging for the best hours, best times for the grid. They return to a fully charged vehicle that's been charged either for free or at very, very low cost.
Interesting. So do you have, like, how are the utilities responding to this? Are you reaching out and talking to different utilities about working with them about, you know, special low-cost charging times and say, look, we have this software that's going to really help ease the strain that you have on the grid. So we want something in return, you know, to provide to our customers, maybe even lower pricing than what you offer now, because we're actually going to help you. Is that conversation going on with you, between you and the utilities, and how receptive are they?
Yeah, I have to say, it's been great since we started ChargeGate. We've frankly been overwhelmed with inbound demand coming from utilities across America who want to work with us. They see a ton of value in optimizing EV charging because electric vehicles are actually one of the most flexible sources of energy demand that we have on our power grid right now. So just sharing some data from the ChargeGate platform, we've got hundreds of thousands of vehicles. The typical American EV driver plugs in at home for somewhere between 12 to 14 hours at a time, but typically only requires 2 to 3 hours of charging for a single session. So we have a ton of flexibility to choose those 2 to 3 hours within that 12 to 14 hour window to suit the customer's needs, but also to suit the grid's needs. And utilities realize this, and it's a very powerful tool that they can use, frankly, to save money on generation costs, avoid really expensive peak generation costs by having to switch on a really expensive and often dirty power plant. But also in terms of savings that they realize by having to being able to defer or even avoid altogether upgrades to their equipment, to their substations and transformers. These are really, really expensive pieces of equipment that wear down over time and that are going to get worn down quicker through increased demand, including from demand from electric vehicles. So they see this as a great tool to save money themselves. And so, yeah, we're already working with over a dozen utilities across the U.S. In less than a year since we formed. And we're looking to double that number over the course of this year. I will tell you as well, utilities are not the easiest necessarily to do business with. It can take a while to get contracts set up. So definitely in the industry, this is really fast progress.
Yeah, I was involved in BMW's early pilot programs with electrification, back to Mini-E program, the Active-E program, way back to 2008. And BMW had a pilot program out in California where it was a vehicle-to-grid program, I think with the Active-E, somewhere around 2011, 2012-ish, that time frame, before the i3 came out. And I know there were quite a few people in the Active-E program that participated. And BMW seemed very heavily focused on vehicle-to-grid integration with two-way power flow and, helping the grid that way. This is a little different. Do you see this as smart scheduling as more of an intermediate, goal for electrification, and ultimately having that two-way power flow where you can actually give the grid power too. You don't just smartly schedule your charging. Or do you see this as something that would be used for the next 20 years? I'm curious, is it the stepping stone to true vehicle to grid, or is this something that's here to stay?
Yes, really glad you brought up the topic of vehicle to grid. So ChargeGate also does vehicle to grid projects with utilities. So currently we're working with Pacific Gas and Electric and Southern California Edison out in California. These are the two largest power utilities in the country. And we're actually doing vehicle to grid, or sometimes called bi-directional charging, with Ford and Nissan vehicles. So Ford obviously has got the F-150 Lightning. Nissan has got the Leaf. That was actually the first bi-directional vehicle in the mass market in the U.S. And what we're doing is we're sort of building what we call virtual power plants. So imagine amassing thousands or tens of thousands of electric vehicles that have got fully charged batteries that are capable of exporting power back to the grid when it's needed. And each individual vehicle may not be able to export all that much, but collectively together in the tens of thousands of vehicles, this actually starts to approach the same output capacity or generation capacity as a power plant. And when you think about the state of the country's power grid right now, the surge in energy demand that we're seeing, particularly from data centers, and the long lead times that we're hearing about to build new power plants to power these data centers, we're actually looking at leveraging electric vehicles even as an interim solution to export power back to the grid to meet that extra data center demand in the immediate term. Ultimately, it's going to help the country meet its own AI goals and objectives, things like the Stargate project, a lot faster than having to wait for permitting and construction of new power plants.
So you're saying you can actually save the EVs can actually save the grid and not crash it? Because that's kind of like a narrative that has been flowing in the undercurrents for a while now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really interesting. That was definitely a narrative that was being spun, maybe 3-4 years ago with the EV tax credit that all these EVs are going to crash the power grid. And I think it's really interesting that we actually haven't seen any notable blackouts really in the power grid, apart from, you know, hurricanes and other extreme weather in the year since this EV tax credit was passed. And that's actually because electric vehicles are an asset to the power grid rather than a liability. Since the early part of this decade, the automakers, even before ChargeGate was formed, have been working with some of the power utilities, more in some of the early progressive power utilities like Xcel Energy in Colorado, DTE Energy in Michigan, to actually pilot what we call vehicle grid integration and really sort of prove out the fact that electric vehicles have a lot of flexibility in their charging when they're charging at home, that most of the charging in America is actually happening at home, and that with the right level of incentives for the customer, we can actually get EV drivers to opt in, participate, and provide some flexibility back to the grid. That means that we can reduce demand for electricity coming from electric vehicles during peak or high impact times. So you think about a hot summer's afternoon when there's a lot of air conditioning demand on the grid. Sometimes you hear about brownouts or potential blackouts. We've been able to avoid those with electric vehicles. Now that we're looking at this sort of increased demand for electricity coming from data centers and other sources of electricity demand, actually looking to export power back to the grid and making sure that data centers don't bring down the power grid next.
Cool.
What about compatibility? So, I have, as you can see behind me, the Ford Charge Station Pro. I have an F-150 Lightning, and I can power my house with it. I have the home integration kit, but a Tesla Cybertruck pulls in the garage that can do two-way charging, can't use it. A Chevrolet Silverado EV, I had one on loan, I couldn't use it because Chevy has their own system, Tesla has their own system. Neither one will allow me to plug my F-150 Lightning in and use it. I would hope that all your software and everything you're working on with these multiple automakers is going to be, compatible with all of them. It won't need a different system or different software for different vehicles, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely one of the intentions of forming ChargeScape is, look, the automakers, and look, these guys are competitors, right? They didn't need to do this, but they voluntarily decided to come together, pool a bunch of money and actually invest in common systems, common software for EV charging across their vehicles. What we're working on in ChargeScape is making sure that we've got all of the sort of standards and protocols in place across different automakers, and including Tesla, who we work with, to make at-home charging as simple and seamless as possible. There is still, I think, a little bit of pain in the market right now, particularly on the hardware side, right? So we all know about the NACS, and other sort of plug standards and certain vehicles not being compatible with certain charging stations out in public. I think what you're describing is sort of like an at-home version of that, right? You've got the Ford power station and charger installed in your garage. It won't work with other vehicles. There's a whole sort of set of processes that need to happen on the hardware side as well. But I think you're seeing progress there too. All of the automakers now announcing, I think, in the past couple of years that they're moving to NACS standards. I expect that to sort of continue on the hardware side.
So
I will take you to task on one thing you said, that they didn't have to do this. The automotive landscape is changing. We know this. In the next 10 years, there's going to be more changes in the industry than there was in the last 100 practically. And I believe, the smart companies are forming collaborations like this and like IONNA, the 8 companies that came together to do IONNA. You could say, well, they didn't have to put $5 billion into a pot and put these chargers in. Yeah, they do. They have to. This is an existential threat. And if your vehicles, the companies that you're working for now, don't do something like this, don't make charging simple, don't allow for less expensive charging and bi-directional charging, and other companies do, they're going to be on the short end of the stick in a few years. So I'll get off my soapbox, but that's just how I feel. This is something that is actually needed. It's not just, this will be a great feature for our customers. They have to do it. things like this.
It's a fair point. I think, you know, I think collectively they didn't necessarily have to do it, but I think individually, to your point, they absolutely do need to. If you're a single automaker, you need to make sure that your vehicle is compatible with charging protocols and charging hardware, that your customers are able to charge wherever, whenever, as easily and cheaply as possible. I think that is what you're seeing.
So you mentioned we can, so EV owners like myself, and like you're an EV owner too, I assume?
Yeah, of course.
What do you drive?
I drive a Tesla.
Model S?
It's a Model Y.
Okay. Oh, okay. Man of the people. All right. So to save us money charging, I mean, that's, I think, what people will really want to hear about. Like, how do you save money and how can people take advantage of those situations, of those utilities that you work with? So maybe we could just like focus on one utility, maybe Texas. I think Texas is a pretty successful place for you.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Yeah, I think let's maybe talk about a couple of different parts of the country. It would be great to talk about Texas. I mean, Texas has a very unique electricity market that's completely separate from the rest of the country. True. So I don't want to necessarily use that as a case study because it's not representative. Gotcha. But we'll talk about Texas and maybe we'll talk about Connecticut, like just as another example. Sure. Two very different parts of the U.S. So in Texas, you know, we're partnered with Texas's largest electricity retailer. They're called TXU Energy. And there we're actually offering free at-home charging to Ford customers to start. We're going to be rolling that out to other automakers as well. And this is a special rate plan that you sign up to with TXU. So Texas, you know, by the way, just to take a step back, that's got a competitive electricity retail market. Again, a little bit different from other parts of the country, which have more kind of regulated monopoly utilities. Texas has completely deregulated their electricity market. They've got independent power generators, and they've got competitive retailers that all compete against each other on the price per kilowatt hour to sell to customers. And if you are a customer in Texas, you can choose from dozens of different electricity retailers. And so, you know, TXU has got one. They've got a special plan called Free Overnight Miles. And that's where you just sign up to the plan. You pay, you know, a standard electricity rate for your home, as you would. And it's a very competitive rate. But then your EV charging itself is actually subtracted out of your bill. We get the data from the Ford onboard. It's called telematics. And that's subtracted from your energy bill at the end of each month, as long as you allow, you know, ChargeScape and Ford to kind of optimize your charging with TXU. We will make sure that your car is always charged by the time you need it to the full battery or whatever you specify, and you'll get free charging. So you'll get your home electricity bill, the charging costs will be subtracted out, and you just pay for the rest of your home. So you know, I think this is a great example of, you know, how ChargeScape and the concept of what we call managed charging is making EV ownership a lot cheaper for Americans, a lot more accessible for Americans. And look, you know, depending on how much you drive and how much you charge, you know, you could be realizing savings of, you know, $1,000 plus a year on your charging, particularly if you do most of your charging at home, which, by the way, we see customers on this plan kind of ditching the public charging stations and just doing as much charging at home as possible, of course, because it's free. and charging at, you know, away from home only when they absolutely need to on a road trip or something else. So that's, you know, that's one example. And then I think maybe to go to another part of the country like Connecticut, in Connecticut, you've got basically like two regulated utilities that have like monopolies on the state. And this is the case with a lot of states. They're called Eversource Energy and United Illuminated Company. Eversource covers most of the state of Connecticut. They're our partner. There as a customer, you don't really have choice over who your utility is. It's probably going to be Eversource if you live in Connecticut. But what Eversource has done together with ChargeScape is they've rolled out a program where you sort of opt in, allow ChargeScape or your automaker to kind of optimize your charging in the background. You'll get $100 just for signing up. And then you'll get around $20 a month in savings. And there we actually do it as cash back. So we don't do it on the energy bill. The customer actually gets a Venmo payment at the end of every month, $20. And then in the summer, you get an additional $50, June to September. So this is really substantial savings again. And you know, we're seeing a lot of customers in Connecticut essentially get their charging for free at home through this program.
So is that money that you give them, is that predicated on how often or how long they're plugged into the wall or how much electricity they use?
It's really predicated on, you know, just whether or not they are allowing their automaker to optimize their charging in the background. So to, you know, to give a couple of examples, you know, you might plug in your vehicle. We determine together with Eversource Energy that, you know, the best time to charge your car is going to be between midnight and 3 a.m. Let's say, as I said, over 95% of the time, the customer will just say, yes, okay, no problem. You know, I got to be up by six. I'm out of the house by seven. As long as my car is charged, that's fine. In less than 5% of cases, we'll see a customer, you know, override that and say, well, actually, no, you know, for whatever reason, I need my car charged sooner. Whatever, I'm doing a big road trip tomorrow. I need 100% battery, whatever the case may be. And as long as you don't do too many of those in a given month, you'll still get the $20, which is really great. There's no minimum amount of charging that you need to do there. And then I mentioned as well, you get this extra $50 a month in the summer months. There on occasion, Eversource Energy might request customers to just sort of reduce or pause their charging during really peak hours. So again, these tend to be sort of afternoons or evenings on really hot days in the summer when the grid is a little bit overloaded from air conditioners. And as long as you allow your automaker to do so together with ChargeScape, you'll get the $50 for that month.
So you're so, saying the, one sec, Tom, real quick. Go ahead. Sorry. So you were saying the Texas utility with the Texas program, that's only open to Ford owners right now, and it's going to open up to more later. So this Connecticut one, is that open to everybody?
That's right. Yeah, that's open to everyone.
And also to be clear, we should mention that BMW, Ford, Honda, and Nissan are sort of investors in ChargeScape, but it's not limited to just their cars, right? Any car, basically any EV can.
That's right. Yeah, we work with other automakers as well beyond those who have just invested in ChargeScape, which, you know, that's more of just like a strategic, you know, corporate M&A decision that CFOs make in boardrooms somewhere. But there are other automakers who just want to work with ChargeScape to get these savings available to their customers, including Tesla. Our programs are open to more than just those four automakers.
Sorry, Tom.
Joseph, maybe you could take a minute to explain to the viewers why the utilities, and I know you touched on this before, but why they would be anxious to be involved in a program like this. Like, for instance, talk about the Texas program, free charging during that, you know, during that specific time frame. And, you know, I know, and I've been asked this many times, but why would the utilities just give away free electricity? You know, even if it's during a specific time. Some people have a hard time understanding how the grid works and everything. Maybe you can understand what benefit does the utility have to giving free electricity to customers in the program?
Yeah, so I think actually let's use Connecticut and Texas as two different examples, because two different, very different parts of the grid and two different power systems actually. So maybe
we know what the customer gets out of it. But yep. Why is the utility anxious to give us these either free or reduced rates?
Yeah. So let's start in Connecticut. Why is Eversource Energy doing this? Eversource Energy operates the power grid in most of Connecticut. They operate the poles and wires, the transformers, the substations, billions and billions of dollars of assets. And these assets do degrade over time. They degrade faster when there's too much strain on them from what we call coincident electricity demand. So everyone turning on their air conditioners all at once, let's just say. Everyone charging their electric vehicle all at once, which, by the way, actually tends to happen in a lot of parts of the country. You know, EV adoption is still fairly clustered. And we see this phenomena of, you know, certain neighborhoods, even certain streets where, you know, suddenly half or three quarters of the street has got an EV in their driveway. And everyone comes home from work around the same time and tends to plug in around the same time. This is really bad for the utility. That's going to place a lot of strain on the transformer that serves that neighborhood, that street. And it's going to cause it to degrade a lot faster. That's very, very expensive for the utility to repair and replace. It's actually much cheaper to just pay customers a few dollars to provide a little bit of flexibility in their charging. So ultimately, there's a cost-benefit analysis that what we call like a poles and wires utility like Eversource goes through. And ultimately, they determine that this is saving them more money to actually pay customers to reduce their demand than, you know, having to rip up the streets and install new equipment. Let me move over to Texas, where, you know, I mentioned there's this kind of competitive retail environment. Their utilities like TXU Energy, they don't actually operate the poles and wires. They are pure vendors of electrons. They source electrons from the wholesale market run by ERCOT, and then they just sell that back to consumers. And so for them, you know, the incentive is twofold. You know, firstly, they're operating a competitive environment. In Texas, you can choose any company as your retailer, and people switch a lot. So anything you can do to offer customers a great deal on their home electricity is going to get you more customers in the end. So that's part of the reason why they're doing it. And the second reason is, you know, I mentioned they have to actually purchase these electrons. And the price of power varies according to the time of day of the week, and even the season. So no one really knows this about Texas, but there's actually a ton of wind power in Texas. Texas doesn't really have this image of being, you know, very sort of environmentally progressive, but I'll tell you, having spent a lot of time down there, our headquarters is in Austin, there are not only tons of EVs on the road, there are wind turbines absolutely everywhere. And the landscape of Texas is perfect for wind. It's very flat, tends to get a lot of sort of crosswinds, particularly in the evening. And so in the evening and overnight hours is when we actually see a surplus of wind energy on the Texas grid. And just think back to your economics 101 class that maybe you took in college or high school. You know, there's supply and demand, right? And when supply is really high overnight and demand is low because everyone's sleeping, prices fall. And power prices actually approach zero in Texas overnight during certain days of the week because there's so much abundant renewable energy coming from wind that they're just looking for people to sort of take that off the power grid. And so retailers are able to purchase that electricity at very, very low cost, almost for free. And so they just pass that on to the customer. And that's really one of the greatest things, I think, about, you know, having one of these programs in Texas is you wake up to a fully charged vehicle. It's been charged with green electricity coming from wind turbines, and it didn't cost you anything.
I mean, you can't beat that. That's the ultimate, you know, win-win-win kind of situation, I feel like.
Yeah, look, and I talk to a lot of EV drivers, and you know, frankly, a lot of the EV drivers I speak to in Texas don't necessarily care all that much about the environmental aspect of it. But one thing in the United States is universal. Everyone likes saving money, and if you could get something for free, it's going to sell. And so that's what we're seeing.
How many states are you operating in now?
So currently we're about in about a dozen states across the U.S. We're really focused on launching and operating in the states where there are the most electric vehicles. So California, of course, Texas, of course, the Northeast, you know, states like New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Florida as well has got a lot of EVs. So that's kind of our initial focus. And we're going to continue to work with power utilities there and expand there. But look, ultimately, our goal is to be operating in all 50 states. That's going to require us to be working with, you know, close to 100 power utilities. But it's on our roadmap. It's in our plan. And certainly by the end of the decade, ChargeScape will be live in every state.
Nice.
So are you in New Jersey now? I'm asking for personal reasons.
Not quite yet. We're in the contracting process, but I'll be sure to let you know.
With JCP&L or PSE&G?
Can't say. Well,
you can't say that. Oh, okay. Well, hopefully it's JCP&L because that's my electricity provider here. We could talk off camera about that. Maybe I'll get on the program and see how well it works once you guys get approved here.
That'd be great.
I'm in Florida, where FPL, Florida Power and Light, is like the big utility, I think, in the state. But actually, I'm in Tallahassee, so we have a municipal utility that handles all our power. And it's actually a really, really, really good utility. I've been here for, it's like 25 years, and I'm really happy with it. Rates have been low. They've been bringing in solar inputs and everything like that. And so looking ahead, you say by 2030, you want to be all over the whole country. What about international markets like Canada, say?
Yeah, I think Canada is definitely a country that we expect to be operating in, I think, in the very near future. Canada's also got a lot of electric vehicles there, fairly concentrated in provinces like British Columbia and Quebec. Mm-hmm. But it's the same use case. And Canadians like saving money just as much as Americans do. We are talking to a few utilities there and hoping to get something launched in Canada, hopefully next year.
Wow, that's great. And what about like expansion of the business in the future? Do you see any like synergistic opportunities arising? Slightly off of your current core mission that maybe you can envelop as well and grow as a company.
Yeah, look, I think for the time being, ChargeScape is really, really focused on getting EV charging right for Americans. I think we've got a long way to go. That's definitely going to be our focus for the immediate future. Look, longer term, I mean, there's plenty of other things that we can move into. I mean, if you think of electric vehicles as batteries on wheels, right? And we're optimizing batteries. Well, a lot of people now have home batteries, right? And so could we optimize those? Could we actually save them some money with the home battery too? People are electrifying their heating, right, with heat pumps. Could we do something there? Air conditioning is obviously an electric source of demand too. Plenty of room for optimization. I think plenty of room for growth. But in the near term, our mission is very, very clear, making EV charging simpler and cheaper for Americans.
Awesome.
Sounds good to me.
Do you have anything else, Tom?
No, that's about it. I think we touched on the things that I wanted to talk about.
All right. Anything you want to add to this discussion, Joseph?
No, that was everything. Thanks for the great questions.
Okay, thank you. So I guess that brings us to the end of our show. Thank you for spending this time with us, Joseph. What's the best way to keep up with what ChargeScape is doing?
Well, visit our website, chargescape.com. We've got a LinkedIn page as well, at ChargeScape. But as I said, we are largely a behind-the-scenes company. Definitely check out your automaker's webpage or app for the charging incentive programs that they've got running with us.
Awesome. Sounds great. All right. So if you have any questions or comments, please leave them below or get in touch with us on the social media platform of your choice. Don't forget, if you like the show, please give us a thumbs up, click subscribe, tap that bell icon for notifications. Thank you all again very much for joining us, and we'll see you again very soon. Ciao.